after what James has been leading us towards, with all the graphics on the screen, there's a sense of the awesome presence of the Lord. And I truly stand before you trembling tonight, because the message here just follows on so amazingly perfectly. We're going to look at Almighty God, the mighty God. And I stand before you like yourself, trembling in that thought. And I'd like you, please, if you kindly would open up to the scriptures in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It centers around this godly king, Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read quite a lot of the chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 1. It happened after that, the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, they were in Hazazar, and Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, such as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you'll hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It's wonderful, isn't it? Now all Judah with their little ones, her wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the congregation. And he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. Utter confusion, you see. And when they had made an end, the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Would you go down to verse 26, please? And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beracha. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. What a remarkable scene that is. I'd like, if you will, to turn to a psalm. Psalm 89. And read a few verses there, please. This is very appropriate. Psalm 89, from verse 5 through to 18. Psalm 89, verse 5. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared or reverenced in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you? O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain, thinking of Jericho. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world in all its fullness. You have founded them, the north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong in your hand. Strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day long. And in your righteousness they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength. And in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. Amazing. You needn't turn this up, but I'll just read one verse from the prophet Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. You needn't turn to, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that the Lord does break down strongholds by his power. You remember the verse of a hymn, Jesus, the name high over all, devils fear and fly. He bruises Satan's head in his power and into strengthless soul. Last week we looked at the strength that the Lord gives us, and a bit of the focus, I suppose, is on ourselves. Tonight I'd like to look at the focus on the might of Almighty God. Let's consider him, Almighty God. Even concerning the birth of Jesus, he was called Mighty God. When the Lord revealed himself to Abraham in Genesis 17, he revealed himself as Almighty God, the Mighty God. And of course, he promised Abraham and Sarah a son, who was born when Abraham was 99 and Sarah 90. Almighty God could do that and give them a son by promise, Isaac. The Hebrew for Almighty God is the phrase El Shaddai, you know. And that word Shaddai comes from a root word shad, which means breast. We can feed and be nourished at God's breast and be fed and strengthened. And our lives may become fruitful because we trust and feed on El Shaddai. Let's turn to Isaiah 41, if we may. Just for two verses. I've mentioned before, I know, that these are two verses that I was given by a friend where my wife went to be with the Lord. Isaiah 41, just two verses. Verses 10 and 13 of Isaiah 41. I'll read them. Very similar, of course, to the prophet's statement to Jehoshaphat. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Notice that I will. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I will. That's a promise. Think right back in creation. God spoke a word and where there was nothing, creation came. In 6 days, creation, God spoke a word, and creation came in. His voice raised the dead. The voice of Jesus raised Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus raised the widow's son, Jairus' daughter. Raised them. They died again, of course, by the power of the Lord. I'd like if you will go back to Psalm 29. This is very important because it speaks about the voice of the Lord. Psalm 29. In this Psalm 29, between verses 3 to 11, there are 7 times mentions the voice of the Lord. Psalm 29 from verse 3 to the end. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Moses skip like calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord, verse 7, divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The voice of the Lord, powerful, mighty God. That's who he is. The words of the Lord through his prophet came to Jehoshaphat. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Remember, Moses was told to raise his staff over the Red Sea. He didn't divide the Red Sea. God did. The power of God divided the Red Sea and also, of course, the River Jordan. He did the same. They cross into the land. The floodwaters of the Jordan at that time, because of molten snows on Mount Hermon, came down in torrents and was like a flood. And the River Jordan, though it's very small, was in torrents. And the Lord just held the waters up and they could pass over. We read 2 Chronicles, the experience of Jehoshaphat. In Gideon's day, there were 32,000 that could have joined Gideon, and the Lord reduced it down to 20-odd thousand and 10,000 and down to 300. Those who did not fear man, but fear the Lord. And God used 300 men. Let's go back to Judges 7 and see that remarkable incident, because those 300, and divided into three groups of 100, had to stand still absolutely and not move a foot. Judges 7, please. Judges chapter 7. And we read from 18 to 23. Longer story. Chapter 7 of Judges and verses 18 to 23. It was the instruction, like the trumpets that were blown around Jericho. Chapter 7 of Judges, verse 19. It started 18, I think. When I blow the trumpet, I will also, all who are with me, then you also shall blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, surrounding the enemy, of course, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, just like the captain of the Lord of hosts, the commander of the Lord's army, with sword drawn, met Joshua. Verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outposts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands and the lights inside. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands. They cried, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. Both hands are occupied, couldn't reach with their sword and their scabbard, could they? Verse 21. And every man stood in his place. Didn't move a foot. If they did, they'd have lost. That would have been disobedient. Every man stood in his place all around the camp, that's of the enemy. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord said, every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. Confusion with the enemy. The army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh and pursued the Midianites, and they were defeated. But it was the power of God. Yes, Gideon's obedience that did it. Now we watched on the screen way in which the nation was called to prayer.
against the mighty odds of a mighty Germany at that time. And the Lord delivered our country. Mighty God. Well, of course, no doubt there were many more Christians then, and people did read their Bibles, and there's a fear of God in the land to some extent. It's different now. It's not the same now. But God hasn't changed. He's still the mighty God. And you might still need the 300 like Gideon's men. He doesn't need a mass of people. He's those who are prepared to obey and walk with him. So take courage, dear friends. Your redemption finally is near anyway. The battle belongs to the Lord. What he decides to do. Yes, I know he calls us to cooperate with him, of course. But Romans 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I'd like you now to turn to Romans 8 as I come towards an end. Romans 8, please. Wonderful, encouraging verses. It encourages us in the day of much adversity. Romans 8. We just read that verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But what things is he talking about? Go back to verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. Now here are 17 issues of life which cannot separate you and I from the Lord and his love. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as written, for your sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded, here you are, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers, evil work, Satan's work, demons, nor things present nor things to come. Oh yes. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a tremendous encouragement. 17 issues of life that cannot separate you from the love of Christ, love of God through him. Tremendous, isn't it? That doesn't only apply to the church, it also applies later on to Israel very briefly. For in Isaiah 63 verse 1, there's a comment as Isaiah writes, who is this that comes from Edom? With dyed garments and Bozra, that's Petra, glorious in his clothing, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And of course, it's the Lord going to Petra to deliver that fleeing remnant of Israel and bring them back. And he does bring them back. And he saves the remnant of Israel. That's who he is, glorious in his clothing, traveling in the greatness of his strength. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the almighty conqueror, and he will triumph every foe. He defeated death, and death is our worst enemy, apart from Satan and his demons. 1 Corinthians 15 says that death is an enemy, so it is. But he defeated death, it's the last enemy eventually, and that will be eventually destroyed. All the human enemies that God has, and there's a mighty number of them today, they will be defeated, and so will all the devil and his demons will also be defeated and cast into the lake of fire. God is almighty. Word goes out of his mouth, Revelation 19. And not one unbeliever will be surviving, cast into Hades, awaiting the great white throne. He spoke at creation. Creation came into being by his mighty power. He's called El Gibor, the mighty God-man. That's who he is. For us, he will change our corrupt body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body. That takes the power of mighty God to do that. And it's according to the working whereby he can subdue all things to himself. That isn't just Satan. And every knee shall bow to him. He is mighty in majesty. Think of this. Mighty in majesty, mastery. Think of Jesus in his earthly life, in his mercy, in his ministry. Mighty to save and mighty to keep, as Peter tells us. And he will eventually bring you and I, as the body of Christ, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, at great cost. He will bring us to maturity and perfection in a new body. The power and the word of God will do it. Dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine the power that would do that? The resurrection of a dead person and a new body comes from the grave to meet the Spirit coming. The mighty power of God. We've been thinking so much from the screen this evening. And we tremble. We need Almighty God. But will he do it? I don't know. Or is it judgment on the land? I don't know. We pray, we hope, we can ask, The decision is the Lord's. His is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory and the majesty as he is in his person. This morning we watched Wayne Edwards, his ministry on the glorious transfiguration of Jesus. Just for that brief moment, he revealed his glory and his majesty to Peter, James, and John. What a scene that must have been. That was just a glimpse of his future glory. He comes to reign. Yours is a kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted high above all. Ephesians 1:21 says, he is far above all, principalities and powers, everything, under the earth, in the earth, in the heavenlies. So the Lord has told us who he is. Almighty God, El Shaddai, and he has promised to supply all our needs. Take heart, dear friends, the battles ahead are not yours, and it will be a well-fought day. Can I give you just two verses to encourage you? We can read them together as I close. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the last words of Peter, he, like the Apostle Paul, would soon give their lives for Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18, last two verses that Peter ever wrote, like 2 Timothy, the last words that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things, that's about all the judgments that lay before the words and verses that we... You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Don't be discouraged. Do not fear, but fear the Lord. Don't fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. And it says, Amen, which means so be it. So be it. We're to grow in grace, grow in strength, grow in him, grow in knowing Christ better. And he will strengthen us because he is Almighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. El Gibor, the mighty man, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he will achieve all his aims and purpose. We're living in strategic days. Strategic days. We can pray. The answers are of the Lord. Amen. He is able because he's El Shaddai.
We close with the words of the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven.